EAB. Europa verstehen, Europa gestalten.
Hello, beautiful people out there. As you might recognize, I'm talking in English today because this is a very special episode. Today I'm taking you to a very special event to mark the 35th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall, which is taking place in the heart of Berlin, celebrating 35 years of change, young voices for a united Europe. At the invitation of the governing mayor, young people from all over Europe will come together here in the Rotes Rathaus. Over 10 nations will be represented to discuss the future of our continent. The topics? They will be diverse and political, from the significance of the fall of the Berlin Wall to security in Europe and EU enlargement. In this podcast, we hear the perspectives and ideas of the participants who represent a new generation of European citizens. Have fun and enjoy this podcast in cooperation with the EAB, die Europäische Akademie Berlin.
Welcome at the Berlin City Hall. My name is Christian Johann. I work for the European Academy Berlin, and it's great to see all of you here in this very special week. What a week, right? It has been a very turbulent week, and there are still 3 days left of this week, so let's see what will happen until Sunday. Some of you are with the European Academy right now, and it's great that you made it here in this cold and dark weather, and we are really anxiously looking forward to working with all of you in a couple of minutes. But first of all, let me introduce the program for you. Let me introduce our host, which we are very grateful for hosting us here today with this very special event, which is called Celebrating 35 Years of Change, Young Voices for a United Europe. And my first thank you goes out, obviously, to the governing mayor of Berlin, Mr. Kai Wegner. Thank you for doing this, for hosting us today here. Thank you. Okay. We will practice this. And a large portion of our funding comes from the state of Berlin. Thank you for this also. And therefore, we are not grateful only for this funding, but also very committed to bring together Berlin and Europe. And the best place to do this, obviously, is right here in the middle of Berlin, in the center of Berlin, together with you from all over Europe. I would also like to thank the Foundation for Polish-German Cooperation. I haven't seen, is anybody here from the foundation? Thank you very much for making this possible. Hello. This is your round of applause. By show of hands, who's from Poland today? Who's from Poland? So yeah, lift up your hands. It's great to have you. Good to see you. Welcome here. Also, funding comes from Erasmus Plus in the funding program Youth Together. I don't assume that anybody from Erasmus Plus is here, but thank you very much. And then we are here in partnership with the TU Berlin in the program Enhance. They will host one working table today here. And they are standing and representing the European Universities of Technology Alliance. So thank you also for cooperating with us and speaking about student communities. I will dive deeper into the program once we have heard our host and once we have heard Hildegard Bentele, whom I would like to welcome also. It's great that you're here. You had also a very tense and dense week this week with the hearings of the new commissioners at the European Parliament, and it's great also, and this is your round of applause. Who wants to have a round of applause too? No. So please join me in giving the last round of applause for this minute to Kai Wegner, our host today. Thank you very much, and thank you again for having us today.
Ja, sehr geehrter, lieber Herr Johann, liebe Hildegard Bentele, lieber Staatssekretär Florian Hauer, liebe Teilnehmerinnen und Teilnehmer dieser Konferenz, meine sehr verehrten Damen und Herren.
Dr. Christian Johann, Hildegard Bentele, State Secretary, Mr. Hauer, participants of the conference, ladies and gentlemen.
Erstmal ein herzliches Willkommen hier im Roten Rathaus, wie ich finde, im schönsten Saal dieser Stadt, in unserem Festsaal, wo viele Veranstaltungen stattfinden, Gewerkschaftsempfänge, Wirtschaftsempfänge, vieles, vieles mehr. Aber selten ist so viel Zukunft, europäische Zukunft hier in diesem Saal. Und darüber bin ich sehr froh und sehr dankbar.
Welcome to the Red Town Hall. I think this is the most beautiful venue in Berlin, this main hall of the Red Town Hall. And there are many conferences, receptions taking place here today, economic receptions, but seldomly we see so much future in this hall here today.
Vor 35 Jahren, es wurde gesagt, war ich ungefähr in dem Alter, in dem viele Teilnehmerinnen und Teilnehmer von Ihnen heute sind. Und damals, vor 35 Jahren, war Europa, Deutschland und Berlin geteilt. Und gerade hier in Berlin wurde die Teilung immer ganz besonders deutlich, ganz besonders sichtbar, denn diese Stadt wurde durch ein Monstrum getrennt, ein Monstrum, das sich Berliner Mauer nannte.
35 years ago, as we've been told, I was about the same age as many of the conference participants here today. 35 years ago, Europe, Germany and Berlin were divided. Nowhere else as in Berlin was this division as visible, as this city was divided by a gigantic monstrum, by the Berlin Wall.
Immer wieder gab es in der Vergangenheit Demonstrationen, Aufstände in den osteuropäischen Ländern gegen die Diktatur, auch in Deutschland am 17. Juni 1953, auch hier in Berlin. Und diese Aufstände wurden immer blutig niedergeschlagen. Dann gab es aber vor 35 Jahren eine Bewegung, nicht nur in Deutschland, sondern auch in anderen osteuropäischen Ländern, die dafür sorgten, dass die kommunistische Diktatur immer mehr zusammenbrach.
There were many protests in the past in countries of Eastern and Central Europe. They protested against dictatorship. Also here in Berlin, for example, on the 17th of June 1953. Those protests were brutally suppressed by the communistic regime. However, there were movements 35 years ago, not only in Germany, but also in other countries in Eastern Central Europe. And the dictatorship slowly collapsed.
Dann kam der Herbst 1989, wo immer mehr Menschen in den Städten der ehemaligen DDR, in Leipzig, aber auch hier in Berlin, auf die Straße gingen. Sie hatten keine Furcht mehr. Sie demonstrierten friedlich für Freiheit, für Demokratie, für Menschenrechte und immer wieder mit dem Aufruf, keine Gewalt.
Then came the autumn of 1989, and people in the former GDR, such as in Leipzig and in Germany and in Berlin, took to the streets. They didn't have any fear anymore. They peacefully protested for freedom, democracy and human rights. Almost under the pretext, no violence.
Ich selbst war am 9. November 1989 dabei. Ich war am Brandenburger Tor. Ich stand auf der Mauer mit vielen, vielen anderen Menschen. Und ich will die Stimmung mal so beschreiben. Sie war einzigartig. Sie war der absolute Wahnsinn. Und die Stimmung in den darauffolgenden Tagen war genauso in Berlin. Und ich kann mich noch sehr, sehr gut erinnern, als Grenzsoldaten aufzogen, dass man auch Sorge hatte, Angst hatte. Was kann passieren? Keiner wusste genau, wo das alles enden wird am 9. November 1989. Aber trotzdem haben alle mitgemacht. Und diese Freiheitsbewegung, die damals im Osten unseres Landes, auch in Ost-Berlin, entstanden ist, sie war nicht mehr zurückzudrängen.
I myself was present here on the 9th of November 1989. I was at the Brandenburg Gate, close to the wall, And I could really feel the mood. It can be described as very unique, as sheer madness. A mood that went on over the next couple of days. I also remember the many soldiers patrolling there, and there were many people concerned, even scared. No one knew what would actually happen on the 9th of November, 1989. But the peaceful protests took further place, and there was nowhere going back from there.
Heute leben wir in einem vereinten Berlin ohne Mauer, in einem vereinten Deutschland, in einem vereinten Europa. Aber ich glaube, wir spüren alle gemeinsam, dass diese Freiheit, diese Demokratie, die uns geschenkt wurde, die auch Ihrer Generation gegeben wurde, dass diese Freiheit und diese Demokratie wieder bedroht wird, angegriffen wird, von innen und von außen.
Today we can live in peace and in democracy, here in Berlin, in Germany and in Europe. However, at the same time, we feel that this freedom, this democracy that was given to your generation, is once again under attack, internally and externally.
Wir erleben das an vielen Stellen dieser Welt, insbesondere natürlich in der Ukraine, wo die Menschen heute wieder um ihre Freiheit, um Selbstbestimmung kämpfen gegen einen brutalen Angriffskrieg von Putin.
We can see it all around the world, but mostly in Ukraine, where people once again fear for their freedom and they fight for their freedom and self-determination against the brutal war unleashed by Russia's Putin.
Berlin ist spätestens seit dem November 1989 die Stadt der Freiheit. Hier wird Freiheit gelebt und Berlin fühlt sich immer wieder verbunden mit den Städten, mit den Ländern, die um ihre Freiheit kämpfen. Deswegen werden wir nicht nur die Menschen in Kiew und in der Ukraine, sondern alle freiheitsliebenden Menschen unterstützen, wo wir nur können. Und meine Bitte an Sie, Sie sind die Zukunft, Sie sind die nachfolgenden Generationen. Stehen Sie auf, wenn es mal wieder darum geht, die Demokratie zu verteidigen. Stehen Sie auf, wenn es darum geht, die Freiheit zu verteidigen. Ja, dazu braucht man Mut. Das hatten die Menschen im November 89 in der ehemaligen DDR. Und wir sollten diesen Mut auch alle gemeinsam haben, insbesondere Sie als nachfolgenden Generationen. Und ich glaube, aus den Protesten vor 35 Jahren, da kann man viel lernen. Sie können daraus viel lernen. Lernen, dass Proteste und demokratisches Engagement die Welt verändern kann. Lernen, wie wertvoll Freiheit, Demokratie und das vereinte Europa sind. Und lernen, dass man sich aktiv für Freiheit, Demokratie und Europa einsetzen muss.
Berlin in November 1989 turned into the city of freedom. And now we can feel the freedom here today. And Berlin feels a special responsibility and a close bond to all the cities striving for freedom. That is why today we support Ukraine and all the cities that are striving for this freedom. And I ask you, you are the future. Your generation must stand up for democracy, for freedom. This, of course, requires courage, as courage was required back then in 89. We must follow suit of those people that were striving for freedom back then. And you can learn from those protests back in the past. You can learn that protests, peaceful protests, can change the world. You can learn how valuable democracy, freedom, and a united Europe are. And you can also learn that we must actively uphold values such as freedom and democracy here in Europe.
Und all das zeigt, nochmal abschließend, dass Freiheit und Demokratie keine Selbstverständlichkeit sind. Dass wir daran arbeiten müssen, dass uns das erhalten bleibt. Dass wir dafür sorgen müssen, dass es in den Ländern, wo es Freiheit und Demokratie noch nicht gibt, dass wir die Menschen dort unterstützen, die auch in Freiheit und Demokratie leben wollen. Und auf diesem Weg wünsche ich Ihnen viel Erfolg, dass Sie diesen Weg gemeinsam gehen. Und ich wünsche Ihnen jetzt in den nächsten Stunden hier im Roten Rathaus, in der Stadt der Freiheit, ganz viele tolle Diskussionen, eine erfolgreiche Tagung, aber vor allen Dingen auch ganz viel Inspiration, wenn es um Freiheit und Demokratie geht.
It shows us once again that freedom and democracy are not a given. We must cherish those values and we must support people in countries where democracy is not a given. On this note, I wish you success on your journey ahead. And I wish you fruitful discussions for the next couple of hours here in the Red Town Hall in Berlin, in the City of Freedom. I wish you a lot of inspiration for democracy and for freedom. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for this greeting. And we now come over to Hildegard Bentele, who is newly re-elected member of the European Parliament. And if anybody of you loves oral exams, which I'm sure you do, then you should ask Hildegard Bentele what she has been doing this week, because she has grilled the new commissioners. So what is happening right now at the European Parliament is the commission presents itself. All the new commissioners who want to be the commissioner for the next 5 years have to stand or sit in front of a commission and then answer tough questions for 3 hours in a row without any notes. So from the top of their head, that to answer Hildegard Bentele for how they think Europe should work and function in the next 5 years. And I'm very, very glad I don't have to go through this process. And I'm looking forward to what you can tell us, not just about this process, but what you can give us as coming from Berlin, representing also Berlin and the European Union for the future. Thank you very much for doing this, Hildegard Bentele.
Honorable Governing Mayor, dear Kai, Honorable State Secretary, dear Florian, dear Mr. Johann, dear fellow Europeans. If I look into this room, if I look into your faces, I have the feeling that hardly any one of you was born already, 35 years ago, the year when the Berlin Wall fell. You were born and growing up in an era which was finally free from censorship, oppression, injustice, one-party rule, and a dysfunctional economy. I can imagine that your parents and maybe grandparents were witnessing this fundamental change in their private and professional lives, which often brought material and mental insecurity, and that some people felt that their achievements were devalued and they themselves misunderstood. But you, the next generation, you had and have, thanks to the Velvet Revolutions, many opportunities. The opportunity to travel, a huge choice of information and goods. The possibility to make a career and to find well-paid jobs, not only in your home country, but all over Europe. You were also born in a Europe in which war, finally also Cold War, was absent. This year, we are not only celebrating the anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall 35 years ago, we also celebrate 20 years of EU enlargement. The three Baltic states, Poland, Slovakia, the Czech Republic, Slovenia, and Hungary, together with Malta and Cyprus, joined the European Union in 2004. They have passed a multitude of reforms allowing you today to live in a fairly prosperous country. As a Berliner, it was ringing in my ears when Donald Tusk said after his election as Polish Prime Minister that he wants to make Poland even the coolest country of the European Union. Not only your home countries have become fully fledged democracies, since we have transferred certain competences like trade, the functioning of the internal market or agriculture to the European level, you do enjoy of another right to participate in democracy, that is the European democracy, by choosing and electing your representatives in the European Parliament, people like me who will negotiate laws for you which apply all over the European Union, creating a level playing field for you as citizens, as consumers, as entrepreneurs, as employees and self-employees. We had European elections at the beginning of June of this year. In Germany, we have lowered the voting age to 16. I suppose in most of the countries, of your countries, it is 18 years. But may I nevertheless ask, who participated in this year's European elections? Well, I think this is worth a round of applause too. Well, the turnout in Berlin this year was 63%, and I think this matches your feedback. Thank you very much. I have to ask this question because even if I mentioned the many positive developments of the last 35 years, or at least of the last 20 years, there are, and the governing mayor mentioned it also, unfortunately also worrying developments dating mainly from the last 4 years. With a pandemic threatening the lives of millions of vulnerable people and bringing our medical systems to a collapse, with a war of aggression raging in our neighboring country, Ukraine, with an economy under heavy pressure from China and other emerging markets, as well as from hybrid attacks. I often wonder how you feel and navigate in this new environment. What are your priorities and wishes? The European Parliament has tried to catch up with you, the youth of Europe, in many ways, by organizing regular youth conferences, by organizing the inclusive offer of a one-year-long conference on the future of Europe in the year 2022, as well as establishing a wide range of online information offers, web and live streams. Our motivation is to plant seeds to harvest confident Democrats one day. Democracy is not an easy thing, I admit. Democracy means gathering a wide range of information, selecting information, because a lot of misinformation and lies are around. It means listening to each other. It means comparing information with your own experience. It means listening to your gut feeling when judging candidates. Democracy is a chance, but also a responsibility. Democracy means negotiation and compromise. It is complex and demanding, but I still think it's the best way to form decisions for the whole society and in free societies. In the European Parliament, we face the challenge to find, with colleagues from 26 other member states, solutions which work for citizens from Helsinki to Lisbon. But this is Europe. We have institutions, we have procedures which guarantee that we talk to each other instead of arming against each other. I'm very grateful to the European Academy of Berlin, who took in this many ways historic week the initiative and invited you and gathered you here in Berlin, even more in the Town Hall of Berlin, a great opportunity for which I wholeheartedly thank the governing mayor of Berlin, that we can discuss and talk today about your ideas, wishes and visions for a democratic, united, stable and economically successful Europe. I'm especially glad that we also have core Europeans from Ukraine with us, because Ukraine is a showcase and test for our European convictions and values. Ukrainians have decided for a future in freedom, for a future in the European Union. The European Parliament has done everything in its power to support Ukraine in his fight, and only next week, President Zelensky, on the occasion of the 1,000th day of war, will address the European Parliament as he did right after the Russian attacks started. I, like the mayor of Berlin, building my confidence in you, the next generation EU, and I thank you for your attention, and I'm looking forward to the exchanges and the workshops and the exchange of experiences we are going to have right now. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Bentele, for giving us this talk. I don't want to forget to thank everybody who was involved in preparing this workshop session. So thank you very much to all the staff members of the Senate Chancellery. And thank you very much, obviously, to everybody involved from the European Academy, which you will meet in a couple of minutes. So let me quickly explain what we are doing now. We are doing and conducting a World Coffee. We have 10 tables, 10 working stations all in all, and I will explain now what you can choose for working at in the next 3 rounds, each is 15 minutes long. We have tables 1 to 8, which each have a specific topic and a specific question for you, we ask you. And tables 9 and 10, you see there on the right, are not offering discussion forums, but the chance to record a video or leave quotes and statements. And each table is hosted by 2 of our project attendees who have been doing this all over Europe already. I remember one of the last conferences was in Istanbul, and now you have the chance to transfer all these capacities you gained there to this event here today. So let's start to work. Thank you again, Kai Wegner. Thank you very much for making this possible. And all of you, please feel free to choose any table you would like to start from, but make sure there are not 100 people at one table and 2 people at another table. Thank you very much. Let's go.
Hello, my name is Christian Johann. I work at the European Academy Berlin, and we are conducting a conference, an international conference today at the Red Town Hall in Berlin, which is our town hall, which we are very proud of. And the governing mayor of Berlin just welcomed us into his town hall, greeting over 150 young people from all over Europe that have come together here in order to talk about security, in order to talk about the transatlantic relations, but first and foremost, to talk about how they would like to live in this European Union together in peace and stability. We ask tough questions, we ask easy questions, because to us it is very important to bring people together and to have them talk to each other and with each other. So this is, with all we do, I mean, there's a lot of preparation going on always, but in the end it is always about these 3 hours we meet here when people talk face to face. So I'm very happy right now that everybody found together here and that we conduct this World Coffee Workshop situation. And I'm a happy camper, you could say, seeing that people talk to each other who come from very different countries all over Europe.
To give you an idea of how many people were around at this beautiful event, I just went around and talked to some of them. At first, I asked them, who are you and where are you from?
My name is Joan. I'm from Barcelona, Spain.
I'm Verena and I'm from Germany.
Hi, I'm Sarah and I'm from Portugal.
Well, my name is Alexander and I'm from Bulgaria.
My name is Julia Kjalfa and I am Director of Communication at Maison de l'Europe de Paris. That means European House of Paris.
My name is Awen and I'm born in France.
I'm Damla, I'm from Turkey, Izmir.
My name is Shane and I'm from Dublin, Ireland.
I'm Zana Z and I'm also a student from Dublin.
I'm Amy and I'm also from Dublin.
I am Undine, I am from Latvia.
Hello, my name is Igor, I'm from Poland and I am working with Youth City Council.
Hello, I'm Boris, and I'm working with Youth City Council as well.
My next question was, what does the 35th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall mean to you?
Well, it's definitely a watershed in the history of Europe. It's definitely a moment of unity and resilience.
So it is a moment that we need to take inspiration from and need to think about deeply, to what happened, how it happened, and why it happens. And at the same time, I'm glad it is okay now, and I'm glad that we moved on.
I think that this wall, it's a symbol of what we don't have to forget, never, that the frontiers exist, even they are by walls.
Honestly, it's a big anniversary, mostly for German people, but for us Polish people, it's also a big thing. Because after this event, communism in Poland was overthrown.
I think that this time that we're celebrating the fall of the Berlin Wall is monumental because it lets us look back in a really nice retrospective way, because we still have so many remnants around us in Berlin and people we can meet who experienced that time.
For example, for me, it's of course means freedom. For my country, it also means freedom and independence. And I think for our country, it was a really, really big event. For it, like, was a push to start our own revolution, I would say, and that's how the singing revolution come, and now we are free countries.
This question was followed by, what do you personally take away from this conference? What is your key takeaway?
I think what we were actually saying collectively was we didn't realize quite how, like, important, like, the European Union is and how strong they are as a forefront. I think it was something that was always so far away from us, and it was kind of something that almost had, like, a mysterious element. But then, like, yesterday when we were listening to, like, the address at the conference, we kind of realized how many facilities we had and how many countries and people are involved.
Well, I was really impressed how much politicians think about the Europe, and especially the most interesting part is how they see the Europe in the close future without America, or with America but in a different way.
I love meeting with new people, and I love experience their culture, and I love diversity.
I've taken so much from this, like, these important people that spoke today. They said such marvelous things and such scary things at the same time, that one person really opens their eyes and their mind.
I personally take away from that conference that I love to see young people being engaged, because I think that spirit should not be lost, especially when it comes to bureaucracy, etc. So I think we should all keep this kind of young spirit, even though we're growing up.
So one major topic that has been thoroughly discussed is the future of European integration. So how can we effectively design a political and an economic model for the future of the EU?
And last but not least, I asked, what would you like to say to those young people who may not have thought much about European cooperation?
Well, you should definitely care about, because then you can shape the future.
It actually is interesting, because it's your future. It's what's going to make the next day brighter. It's what's going to make the next generation happier. So please do get some interest on it, at least just a little bit, so you know where you're working on in the next generation.
And the union is really important for every one of us. So try to give a chance for the union and for politicians, and try to make something good for the whole continent.
As, like, someone who has lived my whole life in a country that had been a part of the European Union for my whole life, I guess we were talking about how a lot of us have taken it for advantage. So it's probably there's a lot in your life that has been provided to you by being a member of the European Union that I guess you don't really have to think about if you were always a member of it. But I do think it's very important to recognize how much we gain from it.
Care about Europe, like, it's where you live. It's an amazing continent, and the history it has been through and still is going through is really something worth living for and learning.
Now we will take a closer look at the results of the workshops, and we will do this by interviewing the table hosts. So in a very quick succession of interviews, we will move our way up from table 8 to table 1 and talk to everybody about what the tables brought out. The table hosts are informed and prepared to answer my questions. So we start with table 8. And a big round of applause every time. This is yours and the round. Perfect, you did this perfect, because the applause has to last until the person is standing up front. It helps tremendously. Thank you very much for being here. Once I finished my question, you tell us your name, and then you try to answer my question. Table 8 dealt with 1,000 days of unrestricted war against Ukraine, and what are the lessons for the European Union? And my question is, what conclusions should the European Union draw from the Russian war against Ukraine regarding its security policy, economic dependency, solidarity, and crisis management? What did you talk about?
So first, my name is Maili. And of those 4 keywords that you mentioned, we mostly focused on 3 of them. So like security policy, solidarity, and crisis management. And for example, about security policy, we talked about how the start of the war was like a moment of realization for the EU that, oh damn, like a war can actually happen and it's a real possibility, which means that we need to invest more in our security policy, especially also now in regards to the election of Trump. We need to become more independent from the US. This is what like most people said in regards to the security policy. Then about the solidarity, we also talked a lot, like that was actually the, I would say the biggest part of our discussion was EU membership of Ukraine, and opinions were very, very split on that. So many people said, yeah, well, they deserved it, and they're also representing European values, so it would be nice if they joined, because that would also amplify European voices. But then on the other hand, also people said, yeah, well, but that would also agitate Russia, which is something that we don't want at the moment. And about crisis management, we also discussed about whether the EU was doing enough for Ukraine or not. And some people said, yeah, they did all they could, because if they would do more, then this would also, again, agitate Russia and something that the EU wouldn't want. But then on the other hand, also people said, yeah, no, but actually that wasn't really enough. We could have done way more.
Okay, now there's one question everybody has in his and her head. Why didn't you moderate this event today? Perfect. Give her a round of applause.
I think you're a great moderator.
Great. Okay. Maybe I should change the format. Great. I mean, perfect answer. It's always tough to be the first one, but now it's tough to be the second one. Any questions for you, from you? Anything that comes up? Not at the moment. Very good. Well done. Thank you very much for doing this. And now we come to table 7, EU integration, how to celebrate the differences. And the question, please come up. Hi, round of applause. I ask the question and then you try to answer it with what you found out about united in diversity. How can the European Union cherish cultural diversity while fostering cooperation among its member states?
Yeah, thank you. I feel like our participants agreed on that the category of difference can be considered as a positive factor, and that can lead to a feeling of shared identity. We talked about many, many different topics and different approaches of difference, and that was really interesting to us, that the approaches were so versatile. And well, we mentioned topics like media, emotions, language, but also personal experience. And well, in general, I feel like one can say that we should definitely focus on preventing human rights and having those debates, considering that, but also considering how historical legacies have shaped our understanding of the presence.
Thank you very much. This is your applause. Thank you. And now we come to the enhanced group, table number 6. Student communities for change. Thank you very much for table 6. And Hans talked about, between and next to other questions, What made you feel connected to other European students during your time in university? Did this play a big role, or did you try to find also answers to different questions?
It played quite a big role. My name is Adam Woźniak, I'm from Poland, Warsaw. So the thing that people pointed out to the most often is some kind of physical contact, either exchange program or a conference like this that enabled them to meet people from other countries like face to face and not only some kind of online programs. Big thing was also buddy programs and language tandems. Basically it's about meeting the people and creating an environment that you can feel safe and comfortable meeting people from other nationalities. And we also importantly noticed that the universities that had student communities which weren't working that well felt that they had less opportunities for this international connection. So once again, we can try to extrapolate from that it's very important that the student communities also take part in this role, try to do new things, innovate. And also what was very interesting for me is that sometimes student communities have more flexibility and can create innovation. For example, when the administration of the uni or director or whatever doesn't want to implement some change, but we as students can be braver, bolder, and demand some things that are not yet accepted by other people. So I think student communities play a huge role in this aspect of connecting people internationally, but also just fighting for different students' rights, also international students.
Okay, thank you very much. This is going quick. Table number 5, new European security architecture. Yes, please. And join me in applauding our next table host. Careful, this is your microphone. I got one question for you. The question was, rethinking European Union security architecture, how can the results of the recent US elections, I think you were the only table talking actively
yes.
about the election of Donald Trump, shape a new European security architecture? And what could this security architecture look like?
We've had lots of interesting conversations, and personally, I'm a student of American studies, so
it's
really close.
Where?
In Warsaw.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And your name is?
Kasia.
Great to have you.
Thank you. And the central topic that we discussed was, of course, the safety of European Union's countries, and how the aftermath of the US elections will turn out. We were able to find some answers, but not really. Some of us said very important thing that we should be educated more and start even an education about EU security at schools, because there's lots of misinformation in social media and among youngsters. What surprises the most was during the discussion with Mrs. Bentele, Bentele,
yes.
Okay, thank you. We were really surprised with her objective perspective on USA's election and the way she encouraged us, even though it seems like a downhill from here, it really isn't. And that at the end of the day, EU is USA's ally, and we should keep that in mind. We saw some similarities, of course. We agreed on strengthening the budget about the education, and someone said something really beautiful and really powerful, that we should start to act as a continent and unify. We saw some disagreements about because our table proposed a hypothetical solution to create mm-hmm. a EU mm-hmm. army.
Great. Okay.
And it caused a lot of disagreements and lots of discussions about the budget, how it would be, even how it created. So this, definitely. And did you learn anything new? I think that it's an easy question because everything that we've heard was something new, you know? We've talked with so many people from EU countries. We asked them how they reacted to the USA's elections. So everything that we've said, every perspective, every each of them was something new.
Great. Thank you very much. I come to you after the next table. So, table number 4, please. Becoming a member, candidate status in 2004 and 2024. A triple. How can the EU benefit from the accession of additional member states? How can newcomers benefit from membership in the European Union? Who would like to start? What came out at your table?
So first of all, my name is Anna, this is Louise, and this is Malina. I come from Georgia, Germany, and France, so we're quite a mixed group. And first of all, we had a lot of discussion, and we were very happy that there was a lot of opinions. And basically, we talked about a lot of benefits, like the diversity benefit, also a lot of viewpoints from countries that joined relatively recently, like Poland, talking about how much it helped Poland and how much it has developed in recent years due to European Union, and how it would not be able to do the same without. So the main point, I think, the main benefit for the newcomers was that. The ability to develop and also the ability to protect itself, maybe, for certain cases. And for the European Union members, I think the main point was the diversification, also the opportunities, and just being also viewed more stronger if the continent was covered more. That mm-hmm. was also a point that someone covered. And I thought that was very interesting. But of course, there was also points that were disagreeing with if it benefits it. So there was also a lot of points about how financially it can be quite unstable for European Union and so on, and how there may be authoritarian regimes that can join potentially, and how that is a big risk. So it was a lot of different viewpoints that overall showed how important this topic is.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We move on to table number 3. Who's the table host for table number 3? Please come up. You were hosting the table on the Weimar Triangle 2.0, new opportunities for Ukraine. And the question, one of the questions you asked were, what added value can diplomatic initiatives such as the Weimar Triangle, France, Germany, Poland, offer concerning Ukraine?
Hello, my name is Jakob. And so this was a little bit difficult because I personally find the question a little bit narrow, and a lot of people had difficulties because I didn't even know what it was, so there was not so much interest, but I think we came up with some interesting stuff.
Can I interrupt you for one second? This is interesting. Who of you knew before today what the Weimar Triangle is? Okay, who didn't know? It's not, okay. Oh, 50-50, two,
yeah,
again.
Yeah, I mean, yes, okay. But
you're from Ireland, right? Is this the Irish side? Okay.
There was like obvious things that were said, like you can help. There's just in general like initiative to help the Ukraine in different ways, with weapons, with money, with food, with medication, all of that stuff. But there were different things that came up as well. For example, that this trilateral union helps us to unify and diversify the aid we give at the same time. So, for example, we don't want like 5 different types of the same weapon, but we want one weapon, so we only have to train the soldier in one weapon. And at the same time, we different countries can give different aids, and or some countries are really good in giving certain aid. For example, Poland is super close to Ukraine, while Germany has a lot of money. So everybody can use their own strength to support it, and in this way we can diversify and strengthen the help we can give, but while we are unifying it at the same time. As well, what I found really interesting and really interesting point I didn't consider before is that for us, like for people in France and in Germany, we take the war serious, but like somewhat it's like far away, and like it's not really like the same culture as us. And so by Poland being so close and being as well like in a cultural way closer to Ukraine, they take it really seriously. Like they are scared. And by having this union of these countries, this makes Germany and France have more pressure, like from society as well, to help Ukraine and to take this problem serious, because maybe people in Germany and France don't do it as much as in Poland.
So the three countries influence each other with their perspectives.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. Table two. Table two, please. Second to last table. Generations of security, ? And it's great to have you. I'll give you the microphone and read the question. What are the most pressing security issues perceived by your generation? And do you see differences in the perception of security threats compared to previous or future generations?
Yes, so I would say everyone could identify their...
First your name and where you're from.
Okay. I'm Natalia from Poland.
And I'm Constanza from Portugal.
Yes, and as I was saying, I think everyone could identify their biggest concerns and also priorities related to security. We mostly talk about environmental issues and how climate change affects our feeling of security. Also, we talked about social issues, be it mostly housing crisis that affects all students, not all, but like a lot of students, aging population, but also the polarization of our societies. And we also talked and elaborated a bit on economical issues and economical instability.
Okay, all the check marks set, so all the big problems.
We also found that each generation was affected by a major historical event that happened. For example, baby boomers' major concerns were about national security and physical security because they experienced the Second World War. And millennials were also concerned about terrorism because they experienced 9/11. I think the environment was a major topic because it affects all of us. What we did find interesting, though, is that opinions didn't vary only on generations, but also where we come from, like our countries and backgrounds and own personal experiences. For example, if you come from a country that has good economical growth and where you can have financial stability, you can have more time and liberty to be concerned about the environment, whilst if you come from a country where people are starving and you have to be concerned about where your next meal is going to come from, then you're going to be worried about the job market and how the country can work better to grow the economy. Of course, that majorly the young people had also big concerns about financial security, but never at the cost of the environment, especially because we have recently experienced and viewed what happens when we neglect the environment, like in Valencia, all the floods that have been happening, and how people lose their homes, their whole lives, and their loved ones because past generations have neglected to take care of the environment, and it is up to us to fix what has been left to us.
Thank you very much. Table number one is the finale for... Yes, please come up first. It's good to have you. And this actually is the one thing that brought us all together here today, because we are celebrating tomorrow the fall of the wall. And the question for the table, the power of the wall, symbols and transition was, what are today's symbols of division or reunification? Interesting to hear. And have they changed in recent years?
Thank you. My name is Barbara.
My name is Lisa.
So we mostly discussed that even though that the wall has fallen 35 years ago, it affects still our present in our lives today, especially when it comes to mental state of people. And not only that they're present in Berlin, they're present in the places where we are saying that the walls don't exist, for example, European Union, because similar to what was seen in the differences between Eastern and Western Berlin, there are still a lot of opinions that differentiate between the voices that are heard on the Western side of the European Union and the Eastern side, and the Eastern and Western Europe or the sides of the world in general at all. So we were talking about how the Eastern voices are mostly seen as less valuable and their opinions than the Western ones. And this is something that probably stays from the opinion that even Berliners have today living in Berlin. And we also discussed the question about how European Union has these open walls, but it actually raises a deeper question about who are these walls actually open to, because I feel like we're always doing this thing, is even like Voices for United Europe, but is it United Europe or European Union? Yes, but there is a lot of, like, I wish that we have more time to discuss it, but I think one of the main points that I really liked, especially about the younger generation, is the question that we asked, that she's going to explain, will it be ever a chance for these walls to disappear?
Yeah, I mean, the topic of wall really raises questions. And some of them, which I will ask you now, was, do you think that walls can be necessary sometime? If you think so, please raise your hand. So a minority of you think that walls are sometimes necessary. And there was another question, which was, do you think that walls, regardless of whether they are necessary or not necessary, do you think they are unavoidable? Like, they cannot be prevented, they cannot be avoided.
What's the question? Do you think, is it unavoidable or?
Unavoidable, yeah.
Okay. Who thinks yes, walls are unavoidable? It's the last question. A few.
So we had different opinions on those two questions, and it really depended on the age of the person, mostly. We have seen that younger generation, or like the youngest of you, usually responded that walls are not necessary, and not even, and they are avoidable if by the power of education, of understanding, people coming together, then walls will disappear. Whereas we've seen that older people saying that sometimes walls are necessary and they are human. As long as they are humans, they are walls. And people also put forward arguments, be like, yes, but it's necessary sometimes for the security, as we discussed about the European army or something, or also for a sense of community. And we discussed about the EU. But at the end, whether the walls, as much as the word excludes, it includes, and there's so much different perspective on whether they are necessary or not necessary, and it was really interesting to see the different points. Something that was said, which was, I think, really interesting, is when we are surrounded by walls, even though they are advantageous of having walls, when we're surrounded, there's a time when sometimes we're just blinded but what's happening on the other side of the wall. And this is where someone came up with the idea of like, walls are necessary as long as there are windows and doors to be open sometimes, depending on the opportunities and depending on the circumstances. And we all think that, well, the group think that it might be a good balance by combining the different perspective. A last few things. One person said that the Berlin Wall at the end stood for change and the spirit that you can change what seemed unchangeable at first, and how walls, sometimes we are living in a world with walls, and which sometimes we take for granted and we take for, indestructible. And that was the Berlin people thought before the wall crumbled. And so the question was like, well, there are walls around us, so how to identify them? And is it necessary also for us to keep them or to demolish them? And we think it was the main answers, and you left answering it. So yeah.
Thank you very much. Thanks. It's a great finish. Let me tell you that I'm extremely proud of being able to host this and being allowed to do this with all of you. You were great. You did better than me standing up here at your age, definitely. So thank you very much. You can be very proud of you. It's good that you came all here, that you got into connection with each other. And I hope that you will see tomorrow some of the festivities here in Berlin, because they are very decentralized. Tomorrow you will have the chance, I hope, to take a closer look at what happened here 35 years ago, because this, I think, is a good example of what could and should happen in the future. Thank you very much again to the Senate Chancellery sitting there on the side. Thank you. Your applause first. It's a great venue. And now the last round applause is for you, because you made all this possible. Thank you very much for being here. Have a safe trip home. Most of you are going to the European Academy Berlin. So travel safely and all the best for you. Thank you very much.
EAB. Europa verstehen, Europa gestalten.